very brief comment about yesterday for those of you who were here, and it will also help those of you who weren't better understand what we're going to do today, and that is, I don't want to leave you with the wrong impression. I said this once, but I'm going to reinforce it. I don't know if you remember back in the 70s, there was this campaign circulating through some churches that Procter & Gamble's logo was satanic. That's not what I'm trying to do here by showing you logos such as this and suggesting that they have a Trinitarian configuration. You know, whether it's conscious or unconscious, I don't think it's deliberate. I don't think State Farm is trying to rip off 2,000 years of Christian symbolism. But my only point is, however it came about, this is a triquetra. And whatever reassurance we might feel in looking at a symbol of the Trinity might get carried over into this logo so that you have certain feelings, and this would register on a probably subconscious level, that this is a dependable, reliable insurer to line yourself up with. That's the only point I'm trying to make. However it came about, I'm not blaming State Farm for anything. I am saying, however, certain symbols do have deep roots in our consciousness here in the West, and for the most part, a Trinitarian triquetra is a positive symbol for many people in this country. Okay, and then this is a slide I intended to show yesterday and didn't, but this will help, again, those who were here yesterday better understand what I was doing with those commercials and also what I'm going to be doing with the commercials today. And today we're going to spend almost our entire time looking at commercials and discussing them. But those commercials on Providence, and I'm going to start with a few commercials on Providence in information technology and computers. But this is the sort of thing to be looking for. Now, the idea here is that, again, for centuries, most of us in the West have carried certain expectations with regard to what God can do for us. Consolation, caring for us, planning, giving our lives purpose. I mean, these are all elements of the doctrine of providence. So in some of the ads I showed yesterday, some of them that I'm about to show, these are the kinds of things that I find frequently showing up in ads that, of course, have nothing to do with God, but with products such as insurance and digital and informational technology. There are certain itches, right? Particularly now that we're in the 21st century, where for many reasons it's become difficult to believe in an interventionist God, or even a God who has sketched out the whole arc of history, and yet still we wish that to be the case, to whatever degree we actually believe it to be the case, particularly for those who no longer believe in God in that way. They still have certain itches that there is that overarching purpose to things, or that there is some compassionate, caring, and intelligent force in the background of things that is looking out after them. And the insurance companies, I'm convinced, now consciously, deliberately try to tap into that desire, try to scratch that itch for us. And so in those ads that I showed yesterday, you could easily discern, if you're looking for them, references, oblique references to a kind of a general providence, even more to a special providence, where the insurer or even the agent sometimes shows up, who, you know, shows up at those crucial moments in your life where there's been some kind of personal disaster and is there to help clean things up, help make things right again, restore them, restore order. Or a benevolent and powerful force behind the scenes that cares for us and about us. That first Allstate ad I showed yesterday with the tree, and this starting with a married couple and then checking in with them at various decades of their lives. The tree stalwart stays there, kind of a benevolent a suggestion of a benevolent force there, and their lives, of course, work out. We want to be reassured that we're not at the whims of chance. That's what insurance is for, when we do find ourselves at the bad end of a bad fortune. But we have an insurer back there who's going to rush in and, as best as can be done, make things right again. Or this question, do natural disasters occur as trials or as punishment for wickedness? I showed you a billboard for State Farm with the steering wheel halo over the woman's head, and it says, "We reward good drivers." You know, we do have the sense that there is, whether we believe it in through a kind of a Christian doctrine of providence or not, we in the West, because it's been with us for so many centuries, have this idea that there is some correlation between our moral behavior and hardships that befall us or rewards that befall us. And you can see that correlation also in the way that insurance companies advertise their products. There are all kinds of rewards given to safe drivers, for instance, who don't have tickets or who don't drink, or if you install alarms in your house, burglar alarms, fire alarms, you get a reduction in your annual premium for home insurance, etc. You know, teaching us again how to be sort of moral, take moral responsibility for our lives, and the insurers will reward us for that. Okay, now today, God and information technology. Information technology is a huge category of things. It has to do with computers. It has to do with the World Wide Web, with cell phones, with wireless technology. You know, practically all the developments in computer technology, miniaturization, nanotechnology over the last 30 years. And I suggested at the first session this week that we have come to put an awful lot of stock, theological stock, in information technology and all of its machinery and gadgets and its software, etc. Had a lot of implications, which, trust me, you're going to see in ways you've never seen before after you watch some of these commercials. These are recorded right off of television over the last several years. Pretty incredible claims when you see them all clustered together, the information technology, cell phone companies, Microsoft, Apple, different computer companies, Sprint, are making for themselves. I want to start with a segment. I'm not going to tell you what the theme is. I want you to tell me what the theme is. I'm going to show you five commercials. The first three are for Sprint. The second two are Verizon Wireless. And then I'm going to stop it. And I'm going to ask you, okay, what do these five commercials have in common? And, you know, try to think of a theological thing that they have in common. Any comments or questions before we start? Very good. I do want to show you this. This was a magazine ad, and I didn't add the copy. Are you attracted, both attracted and repelled by the internet at the same time? That is Rudolf Otto's definition of the idea of the holy. And this is an ad from MCI in 1999, appeared in a magazine. You know, there you have some smart, probably recent college graduate who took an introduction to religion course, who remembered Otto's definition of the idea of the holy. And he is, whoever the ad maker here, he or she, they are connecting this up, the internet and the holy. And the ads I'm going to show you do it right and left. This just happens to do it much more straightforwardly. Okay, five ads. You tell me what the theme is when we're through them.
Down, 4,000 minutes for $39.99 from Sprint PCS. I called and said, bring home some soup from the store. She hears...
Soap opera star.
I made not be soup. And I made not come from a store. I know you, Ashley. And if your brother had soup from a store, then maybe all this was just a big mistake.
This has been going on all afternoon.
Cellular static. Here, Sprint PCS built the largest all-digital, all-PCS nationwide network from the ground up. So calls are clear.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Soup.
4,000 minutes for $39.99 from Sprint PCS.
Let me turn the volume up. Ooh, it is up. Sorry. Okay, what do those five commercials have in common? Theologically.
Promise of community.
Promise of community. Who said that? How so?
Well, who doesn't want a network of all of those people just to support me?
Okay, yeah, that's definitely true of those last two. The Verizon network.
Clarity? Somehow, if you can communicate, then your problems go away.
Mm-hmm. That's an interesting point, too. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was the whole point of that whole series. The first three, the Sprint, is the voices were getting garbled and mistakes were being made. So clarity, yeah, would solve a lot of problems.
On the last two, I thought, my God's bigger than your God.
Definitely that's going on. Or the hidden forces in my life. Are arrayed much more powerfully than the hidden forces in your life. Okay, let me cut to the chase on this. Angels. Right, we got the first three commercials. These were three commercials out of a series of about 10 that came out a few years ago, where this guy keeps showing up. Mm-hmm. This guy with the black suit, the black jacket, and white shirt, always in moments of crisis, personal crisis in people's lives, and he solves them. The first commercial, he's asking this girl, they're sitting on the trunk of the car, if she really loves him, and she says, yes, I do. So there he is, and then the next commercial, it's Shamu the whale, and the third commercial, it's the soap opera star who shows up in the living room. And he's just kind of this figure that shows up out of nowhere to solve these problems. The last two from Verizon, you have this whole army of technicians, and helicopters, and cranes, and cherry pickers, and you got this one central figure who's become the mascot for Verizon Wireless, this real nerd. And he just always shows up, he's always looks confident. But the idea is tapping into this old, like, you know, for we Protestants this is hard to understand, but there is this old medieval, really up into the present, in some quarters of Roman Catholicism, of all the saints and all the angels that are behind the scenes, taking care of our needs. I mean, God is too big to, you know, be approached for every single tiny need we have, but the saints are there, the angels are there, guardian angels are there. Technology in these commercials is suggesting that those guardian angels are still out there. They're just in a different form. Okay, now keep your eyes on these commercials.
offshoot of adults.
This technology is a little slow.
You don't have enough angels.
Yeah.
You need more power.
Okay, I don't want to spend too much time on that or read too much into it. That's just kind of a fun one. But I do want to make this point, and that is part of the technology, this new digital technology we have, is that we can now fill our lives with soundtracks. Now, you know, for 100 years, filmmakers figured this out, that you can enhance the experience of a visual experience on a flat screen by adding a soundtrack. I don't know, you know, it all really depends on what generation you're from, but when I was in college in the 1970s, you'd always make your girlfriend a composite cassette tape of your favorite songs, right? This was the soundtrack of your relationship. It's become much and much, much more easier over the years, particularly with digital technology and with iPods and iTunes.
Playlists.
To create playlists, exactly. And for various friends, various kinds of events, various moods, experiences. But slowly we've acquired this skill pretty much across the board in our culture to add soundtracks to our lives, to enhance various kinds of experiences, really to push them towards what I was talking about on Monday, something more aligned with the experience of the sublime. And this particular commercial doesn't make that point so much as it just makes the point that there is a song out there, and he's just pulling it in right onto his computer from thin air, because he's wireless. He's pulling it in. It's just out there. You just have to have the instrument, the proper receptor, to pull in the right music for the moment, which is what he's doing because he wants his wife to hurry up and decide what to wear so they can go out to dinner. Okay, this next commercial. Well, let's just watch it.
And you know what's great? You guys really look out for us, member. You get that antivirus protection that automatically updates, and you got that spyware protection to help keep my personal information safe. Not to mention you guys are always fighting phishing and identity theft. Well, when you switch to a high-speed connection, danger comes at you even faster. Wow, you guys must really like us. A lot.
Okay, and then the next two commercials along the same lines of, you know, what are these online companies, what are these software companies, satellite companies doing to protect us? This is a sequence on Providence, once again.
Chevy Martin.
Your business is on the move, and we're there for you every step of the way. We are Verizon Business. We're there for you with a global IP network that is flexible and secure. A network you can access how and where you need it. There with the expertise to help design and manage your most critical data solutions end to end. And at Verizon Business, we're there for you in the most important way, with a dedicated team that's personally and passionately committed to your success. People who are accountable for making it all work for you. Global capability with personal accountability. That works.
Okay, impressions from that set of three.
The last one especially really was kind of like the gospel, the for you of the gospel. I mean, it was a real personal, I'm gonna be here for your redemption, whatever.
Yeah, for their whatever is, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Keep your ball in bounds, whatever it takes. Yeah.
But if anybody's ever talked on the phone to any of these folks, it's not personal.
That's why they need this advertising. Mm-hmm. To persuade you differently from reality. Mm-hmm. Yeah. These ads are for.
Well, they're just, I mean, across all these, the sort of interworldly salvation, that the theme of, you know, yeah, now we've got this network. It's all covered. We got you covered.
Yeah.
Sort of just the risk management is really quite powerful.
Yeah. Yeah, managing risk, diminishing risk. Yeah, you're not out there on your own. Yeah.
Well, I just think about our culture of fear. I mean, since 9/11 and the power of always feeling safe, you know, that OnStar thing that you can never be without the bounds. You can never be out of bounds. Mm-hmm. You're always going to be cared for, someone looking out for you. Watching over for you.
Yeah. You hit a tree on a dark, winding road, right. And you're all by yourself, you're hurt instantly, up to a satellite, back right. down to all the caretakers that are necessary.
But the backside of that, though, is that there's that real kind of creepy voyeurism, Big Brother, angle on that, too.
Yeah. Yeah. Makes you wonder. We are being recorded.
Great.
Matter of fact, and it will be put online.
Yeah. And it will be put online for the whole world.
Listen
to
it right now.
Okay, you ready for some more? These next two are from Microsoft. Shift gears a little bit. We're still in a vein of providence, but what particular providential theme is being expressed in these next two Microsoft commercials?
We see Michael. Biologist, Broadway star, or maybe astronaut. At Microsoft, we started Club Tech with Boys and Girls Clubs of America, so kids learn more than just what computers can do. They learn what they themselves can do. We see Fiona exploring a new world. Filled with learning, filled with wonder, we see standing ovations, records beat. We see her graduating at the head of her class. We see kids full of potential. We're inspired to create software that helps them reach it.
Okay, responses to those two Microsoft commercials. What was going on? Storyline.
Well, I feel like I should tie it to Microsoft.
Why do you say that, Graham?
It's my they're doing the work of the church.
Uh-huh. How so? What work of the church?
Their mission. The first one, and also it's just striking how the black kid, his storyline is different from that white girl. I mean, he can be anything, but hers is a pretty bourgeois set of life course. You know, the other one was a little more. What's the word? Apocalyptic.
Multiple directions he could develop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But hers was him.
It's also a false promise because not every kid can be at the head of the class.
Mm-hmm. By definition.
Yeah. So you're not prepared to tithe to Microsoft. Yeah. What about? The idea of callings or vocation.
Well, actually, I would tie it to Microsoft because Microsoft is full of false promises.
And that's why you would tie it.
Right.
Explain that.
Because Microsoft said...
I think you're misunderstanding what tithe means, Sam.
What?
Tithe as in give a financial contribution, like you give to the church. So that's not what you had in mind.
Oh.
It's okay. Yeah.
I'm older than you are. Different generation.
Uh-huh.
And I see these things differently than you do. I see Microsoft wanting to promote its name, not the message. It sounds, you know, a lot of this conversation is the medium is the message, in a sense, and you're looking for deeper meanings in this. My generation, at least personally, I don't look at ads for that reason. I mean, I see economic design behind them. That they're not trying to give me life's meaning, but they're trying to get into my pocketbook so it will be Microsoft software that I purchase. So education for children, that's what I would be looking at. They get into my pocketbook perhaps because it would facilitate educational resources that might be better than another provider could get and would provide my grandkids and that with the resources that they're going to need for the future. So I don't read these as what is the deeper meaning in life kind of things, but how are effective are they getting into my pocketbook for me to really buy what they are promoting. What is it, Verizon? The ad I remember is, "Can I hear you now?" And they went all around the country, you know, "Can I hear you now?" That got my attention to buy Verizon because they had a better product.
Yeah, can you hear me now? Yeah, I remember that campaign too. I wish I had a few of those. But an element of those of that particular series of commercials, "Can you hear me now?" was another guy, or maybe it was the same nerd who shows up with the whole crew. But he's just walking. He's in a grid across the country, establishing a connection, so that wherever you are in the country, you're absolutely covered. We're going to look at some other commercials from Singular in a few minutes. Commercials can be heard at different levels. I hear what you're saying about "Can you hear me now?" Yeah, particularly. Frankly, as I get older, my hearing is not as good. I do want to hear. I want to hear clarity. There's a real practical message through commercials like that. There's more going on in the commercials too, and that is that we're in the background. We're looking. We're covering your back. And here, I don't know. If you look at commercials from the 1960s, they just don't do it anymore. I mean, they're so easy to see through. Commercials have had to become much smarter, much thicker in the last 40 years because we get jaded. You look at any commercial that's 10 years old or older, and its strategies are almost laughably obvious. But these commercials, which are still pretty fresh, are doing an awful lot of work at different levels.
Well, I was just going to say, I mean, they are telling a story, and they do it in 30 seconds because they're not simply saying, so many minutes, it's not just an economic message. They're embedding that message clearly in a story.
Yeah.
So I'm resisting a little bit because I think there is a narrative there.
Yeah.
And in some cases it's like they're trying to downplay the economics of it. They're trying to avoid saying things like buy.
But support these values.
You know, Microsoft saying your potential, our passion, never tells you what to buy from Microsoft. It's just trying to get you having a good feeling about Microsoft.
Right. Yeah. To make them a friend.
Right. Yeah. Right. You know, and it's like they're trying to make you forget that they're after your money.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I assume if it's a commercial, the bottom line is they want me to buy something of theirs.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
sure.
It's. So I go into it with that, and usually I'm not super susceptible to what I think. But this one I would be, because I grew up before computers, And I wish I had them. I mean, I didn't have them until school the second time around. But you could, there's just so much more potential out there to uncover things and to experiment with things without anybody telling you you're wrong. You could, you know, do lots of trial and error in different programs. And so I would be very intrigued by
okay,
that.
Let's use that comment to jump ahead to some advertising that actually discusses what it is that computers can bring us into touch with. Getting there. Okay.
To the list of the most extraordinary images ever captured, we humbly submit the beating human heart. First time in such astonishing detail, it helps doctors diagnose heart disease in just 5 heartbeats. The Lightspeed Volume CT scanner from GE Healthcare. An image so remarkable, some might even consider it a work of art. Imagination at...
Okay, quick read on that commercial. Anybody? What's GE trying to...
Well, it was the mind of the creator himself.
Ah,
galaxies
really?
And the earth.
Fascinating. Yeah, I hadn't seen that before. I mean, it certainly shows you in rapid succession.
Capable of knowing anything.
What's that?
Capable of knowing anything.
Yeah.
What's the function of that? I mean, I'm not going to buy one.
No, this is more along the lines of let's make GE our friend.
Mm-hmm. Right. That's.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's a hospital that's going to buy that.
Right.
But to know that GE, who also sells light bulbs, by the way, is advancing on the frontiers of knowledge.
So they're actually selling me light bulbs by showing me that.
They're helping you feel good about GE.
Yeah, I've never thought about that before.
Huh. Okay, the next two, a couple, along similar lines.
Yes. Rupert, I'm bored. Yes. Rupert, how do you play this thing?
I'm on it, sir.
Connect like never before. At high-speed internet, singular wireless, or digital satellite TV.
There's a new way to search. Introducing the new, more precise, more powerful MSN search.
Okay, what holds those two commercials together? But the butler, this guy living in a mansion.
Oh,
if you have a question.
Search engines.
Search engines, yeah, okay, search engines
question,
and what? Both of them are about search engines.
If you have a question, we have a place to go for it.
Yeah. Not only a place to go for it, but you're going to get an answer through the place that we're directing you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It'll change your life. The butterfly transformation. Mm-hmm. The butler putting in different things.
Yeah.
This will change your life.
Yeah. Yeah, this will change your life. We can put you in touch with a virtually infinite amount of information that will change your life.
A new spiritual term, connect and search. And
a new way to search.
This guy who used to work for Gallup gave this talk about, they've studied what spirituality sells. at a certain level. Too much spirituality, people quit buying. But they found out just how much, where the selling points are. He said, and he says, I don't work for him anymore. He says, it's insidious, the knowledge of this, and how it's effective. Oh. So these concepts of search and
connect.
The heartbeat, I thought, was pretty interesting. I don't know, something organic about that, trying to make a connection between this technology and...
This is in the last commercial, the MS.
Yeah, kind of the medical line and the beat.
Oh, yeah.
And then the opening chord of Thus Spake Zarathustra from 2001 Space Odyssey.
Yeah, good catch.
Search bar shows up.
Yeah, good catch. Okay, next one. Slightly different technology, but similar message.
Radio, we do not use our satellites to know exactly what to play. We just play great songs all the time, so it seems like...
Oh, I was just going to say that...
Like, read your mind?
It's like we know. We just force talk about
something.
We'll call 911 when the airbags deploy.
But tell us where we are when we're lost.
Who can tell us if it's a check engine light, something serious?
Or no big deal.
We'll unlock our car.
When we leave the keys in it.
Who can help the police track a carjacking with my little brother inside?
Jeez.
Oh, oh my God.
Someone should.
Okay. What do you pick up in those two?
Well, that last commercial would not have nearly been effective if they would have used adults.
If they'd used adults, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Used kids, and what if, you know, kids tug at all of our hearts.
All kinds of kid guilt going around, that we're not taking good enough care of them.
Yeah. Well, they tug at those themes of innocence and the need for protection. And.
That one kind of backfired for me, though. It just feels so shameless. It just feels too, come on. Yeah, it feels so blatantly manipulative that it just turned me off the first time I saw that.
Yeah. What was the product on that commercial?
OnStar. OnStar.
Yeah, OnStar. What does OnStar do?
Protection.
Security. If you're in an accident, you have a flat, fires up to a satellite, down to whoever's nearest to provide help.
You talked a couple days ago about how these marketers are in tune with how the mind works. And it strikes me that a lot of what they're trying to get the mind to do is just fundamental. Fear, what you do with your fears. Well, maybe you buy something. Lust, power, very, very strong images and scenes and kids and good-looking people and situations that you've been in and can relate to. Incredible psychological power.
Yes. Yeah, they know what they're doing. Yeah.
Would you call it technolatry?
Technology. It can be. Yeah, it can be. I mean, the last five or six commercials I've shown you, I categorize them under omniscience, divine omniscience. Mm-hmm. That particularly satellite technology, some of the wireless technology, the search engines, they are scratching the itch in us that still desires an omniscient God that we can get into touch with, ordinarily through prayer, right? You're in the old-fashioned way, you're up against a life crisis or just a kind of a perplexity, and you might pray about it to get some kind of clearness of mind, maybe get an answer to your prayer. Now we are much more inclined to turn to Google, or MSN search, as this as Microsoft wants us to do, to get the answer, whether it's a health crisis, just a perplexing problem, car trouble, a reliable plumber is another commercial I don't think I'm going to be showing makes out.
Or the one before this promoting that they know exactly what soundtrack to play for your life.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Sirius Radio.
Yeah, in every moment. Yeah, to help us.
Oh, that's right.
And soundtracks, Soundtracks help us interpret the meaning of things that we're undergoing. They steer us in particular directions. So that this was a whole sequence on omniscience. Now I'm going to move to the next sequence. I'm not going to have you guess because you'll see the title, but it's on, I mean, we're looking at kind of classic attributes of the divine this afternoon. We've looked so far at providence, now we're looking at, we've looked at omniscience. Let me get them up here. I don't want to make too much out of these two different columns, but these are all pretty standard attributes that we assign to God, that we expect, describe God's nature, God's character. I'm working on this right-hand column, particularly omniscience, omnipotence, and omnipresence. The idea that God is all-knowing, that's omniscience, omni-all, sentience or knowledge or wisdom, God is all-knowing, all-wise. We're being barraged with a number of ads that are trying to persuade us that wireless technology and the whole internet, the World Wide Web, in fact, is virtually omniscient. And there are ways to tap into it, and it costs money to tap into it. You got to have the right machinery, you got to have the right subscriptions, but you can tap into omniscience now through means other than prayer. The next sequence is omnipresence. Omni, all present, God is present everywhere. Does technology give us certain powers ourselves to be omnipresent, to be present everywhere, to not be stuck in one place at one time? And see what how this is being treated by these ads, this next sequence of ads. Teenagers, and you can't be there, you're off doing whatever it is you're doing, but you also need to be present. Okay, there's another great one coming up, but not this next one. This next couple, these are both from Singular. This may be a little harder to see, but just listen carefully, look at the images. The two ads from Singular in the same ad campaign. I pulled in the Nazareth, was feeling about half past dead. I just need some place.
More bars in more places. That's the goal of Singular's All Over Network, with the largest digital voice and data coverage in America. Thanks to Singular and AT&T Wireless joining forces. Welcome to the new Singular. We're raising the bar. More bars in more places. That's what people have come to expect from Singular. And now they can expect even more. Testing from the leading independent research company proves that Singular's all-over network has the fewest drop calls of any wireless network. the fewest dropped calls. Proof that we mean what we say. Raising the bar.
Okay, observations on those two. Do any of you have this experience, you share this experience with me? You know what the bars are, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And how when you're on a cell phone or on a computer trying to get online and you can't get bars, mm-hmm. a sense of aggravation, sense of triumph or achievement when you haven't been able to get them and suddenly you can, reassurance that you're back on the grid, that you're back in a network, back in touch, you have access to the world once, you know what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. That's what these ads are trying to reinforce, and they're really, I mean, it's fascinating what they're doing here. Every one of those shots is showing you the bars, so that you're going to see those bars everywhere, whether you're looking at your cell phone or your computer, or you're just looking out at a bridge or the landscape or skyscrapers or what have you. Almost as if they are trying deliberately to build. A religious symbol that can be easily seen. We know it's reassuring those of us who are dependent upon wireless technology. But in addition to that, you have the sense that Singular and AT&T joining forces are becoming omnipresent. So there will be no place except for Holden Village that's off the grid. There's no place that the power and force of everything that comes along with information technology has not reached. Okay, one more. This is a lovely commercial and scary at the same time. Again, this is on the divine attribute of omnipresence.
Cathode ray. Classic characters. And a nation transfixed. A box that serves as a portal. A window. And a mirror. And as it evolves, we follow its every move. Loyal to the end. Top-ranking customer satisfaction, 100% digital quality picture and sound, and a commitment to providing the very best TV experience. It's time. It's time to rethink TV.
Okay, reactions to that one. Storyline there.
A person's life.
Yeah.
Through television.
Yeah, from boyhood through...
Television is always there.
But it's there, always there.
Growing with you in some way.
Yeah, growing with you. I mean, and those were kind of golden moments that were shown on those televisions. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, TV gives your life the meaning that it's looking for.
I was here, I hear your morning cry.
Okay, television gives your life the meaning that you've been looking for.
But it was the World Series one that caught my eye. Yeah. That's where you find your loyalty.
Yeah.
Become loyal because you're watching
the loyal to the end
series on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the comment over here?
Sorry.
Go ahead.
I was there to hear your morning cry. I was just thinking that omnipresent, kind of with you through those significant moments.
Yeah, through all these crucial moments, these pivotal moments in life.
And it's a precious tradition you pass on to your grandchildren.
Yes, it is. This cathode ray, you're passing it on.
And I thought they were going to be shown watching I Love Lucy together in that last scene.
That would have been.
Started.
Yeah, that would have been nice.
And it's dependable.
It's there throughout, steadfast. Yeah. Steadfast, faithful, there to the bitter end. Okay. Let's look at another sequence. We've looked at omniscience, omnipresence. This next sequence is omnipotence.
Just one other comment about what we just saw. You know, all those little quick clips. I mean, that's sort of the narrative of our lives, of our generation, isn't it, too?
Yeah.
I mean, the stories, the Archie Bunker and the Isle of Lucy.
That's right.
Oh, and the comment that you made earlier about their everywhere except for Holden Village.
Yeah.
I think there is a little, a small trace of internet here.
Yeah, there is, as a matter of fact, there is. It's only two bars worth, though. Okay. Before I show you the series on Omnipotence, I want to show you three short commercials that I recorded off the Super Bowl in 2001 that just are striking for me. And I want to see if they impress you in the same way.
Do you remember how much they cost?
No, but I'm sure, well, not only that, but they were from Accenture, which 2 years, which is Arthur Andersen. 2 years later, Arthur Andersen went bankrupt. Uh-huh. Okay. Okay, you're seeing them in reverse right now.
Mm-hmm. Let someone else figure it out. By investing in Russia's oil and natural gas reserves, the world's second largest, ConocoPhillips is helping ensure global energy production for decades to come. Turning what ifs into what's next is just another way we elevate.
Okay, that's not it, but this is the first of the three. They're all very short. Now, for those of you who don't know, Accenture is a consulting firm, and it offers business consulting to big, usually big multinational corporations. So this is a deep in the background company. Why are they advertising at the Super Bowl? I'm not quite clear. I mean, this is not a consumable product. This is addressed to corporate CEOs and CFOs and boards of directors. Yes. First commercial was computer circuitry. I think the headline was bacteria, something bacteria. The idea is that scientists actually are working on this, making microchips out of organic material that can reproduce itself out of bacteria. So that this is will be a post-silicon age, and microchips, microtechnology, nanotechnology will be self-reproducing. And that's what that was all about. Second commercial was a man, obviously in Asia, Hong Kong, China, Japan, who falls ill, and then you switch to what looks like an academic campus somewhere in the West, in America or in Britain, and a surgeon goes into a laparoscopic device on one continent, operating on a patient on the other side of the world. And of course he comes out alive and well. And the third commercial is a woman who's celebrating her 101st birthday or something like that. And now, Arthur Andersen, Accenture is not a biotechnology company. It's, as I said, it's a consulting firm, business consulting firm. But what, I mean, what kinds of claims are being made here?
They can bring all those things into action.
They can bring what into action? Right, they can bring these things into action. They can be instrumental in making these things realities. What are these things?
They know the future.
Miracles.
Miracles, right. Bringing to life inorganic matter. I mean, really, artificial intelligence that becomes organic. I mean, making life out of nothing. Mm-hmm. It's the first commercial. Second commercial is, again, a divine power.
Healing.
Healing you even when they're not present with you.
Healing when you're not present, or they're present on the other side of the planet.
So
that space is no barrier.
Time and space is no barrier.
Yeah, this is omnipresence once again. And the third commercial, all the birthday candles.
Eternal life.
Eternal life.
Eternal,
yeah. I mean, these are things that we typically in the past have sought from God. Maker of life out of nothingness. Omnipresence, healing, eternal life. And now Arthur Anderson, which is not even a science company, is suggesting that it has a role in delivering to us. Okay, we're just about out of time, but I want to show you three final ones under the theme of omnipotence. It's actually five, but they're all 30 seconds. The first four will be from Hewlett-Packard, and then the last, I'll pause briefly, but the last is from IBM. Take me just a second to cue them up. Watching them in reverse. Let me show you this one too. This is just hilarious.
You, turn the radio up.
Entertain yourself.
Hey Nancy, what you got there?
Oh, this new fertilizer I saw on TV.
Mind that this short sequence is about omnipotence, the kinds of powers that we have access to because of the omnipotent power of technology.
Neither snow, nor rain, nor heat, nor temporary loss of gravity, nor grumpy robots made old washing machines, nor black holes that swallow the entire known universe. The U.S. Postal Service on its appointed rounds. HP technology helps make sure the mail never stops.
and...
Hey, Herman.
Okay, so that's the HP campaign. Pretty magnificent amplification of powers going on. Last commercial. This one just, this one is so on the sleeve. Well, I'll show it to you. About exactly the theme we're talking about.
What's that?
It's a server.
A server?
An on-demand IBM e-server. Can monitor itself, manage itself, optimize itself, protect itself, practically heal itself.
How'd it get here?
Maybe it ordered itself.
Self-optimizing IBM e-server X series with Intel Xeon processors.
Okay, quick reactions, responses.
Jesus has returned.
Yeah, in the form of technology.
Well, one thing that strikes me is these claims, while exaggerated, are not without some reality.
They're not.
So then I'm wondering, how does theology respond? I mean, the fact is, some of these things, God doesn't need to do anymore.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, and that was one of the themes of yesterday, is providence. And to what extent are these us, we have found ways to sort of cooperate in divine providence. Luther said that God uses all of our vocations as masks for divine providence. Well, yeah, one could say that the engineers at Microsoft and at Hewlett Packard are masks of God. I mean, it is pretty miraculous. I had laparoscopic surgery myself, and I'm healthy and here today because of that. I'm grateful for it. But at the same time, there is always the potential, as there always has been, of idolatry for whatever the cutting edge powers and forces are in our lives. And there, I think the temptations are so much greater today because these technologies, I mean, there is a certain omniscience that's just suspended in the air because of wireless technology and Google. Virtual omniscience is accessible in the air. It's in this room right now. We can't see it, just like we can't see the Holy Spirit. Healing powers are present. The knowledge that can heal us is present in this room right now. So the confusion that's possible, the theological confusion between these powers, which are good but can also become idolatrous, the potential for confusion is thick and dangerous. These things aren't bad, but many people, I mean, I suspect not people in this room, not people who would come to Holden Village, but many people are finding that this is an adequate substitute for the church and for a spiritual life, and that many of the itches that we have by virtue of being human beings are being scratched by information and communications technology. Just something to keep in mind. Okay, I've held you over. I apologize. Thanks for sticking with it. And I've enjoyed having this week. And for those of you who've come, thanks.